Morning, everybody. Before we begin, I just wanted to say something about when I was a kid and even a teenager. Mom and Dad used to ask me when we made plans or when I made plans, where I was going, who was going to be there, what all we were going to do. This sounds familiar, doesn't it? When are you coming home? I'm going to be 32 years old on Wednesday, and they still ask that whenever Mel and I drive to Oklahoma. When are you leaving? Call us at the state lines. Let us know when you get there. What's this have to do with the sermon? Nothing, except I didn't even know Mom and Dad were going to Florida until James asked me last Sunday if I was going to fill in for Dad on Sunday morning because he was leaving tomorrow. Wow, okay. They didn't even call when they got there. I think they kind of called as an afterthought. Jake never knew. They didn't even call their parents. So I guess Mom and Dad are becoming more and more independent of us. They don't even want to tell us their plans. 32 on Wednesday. Don't forget to bring presents to class that night, okay? Well, what do we want to discuss this morning in our lesson? The notes I've prepared are titled Access to God. We want to talk about our access to God, our Father in Heaven. How do we access God? Who can access God? What all does it entail? We can read several verses in the Bible, just taking a few examples. For example, go to Psalms chapter 65 and verse number 4, where the writer here tells us about going to God. Our access to God is by God's own choosing. God calls, God chooses who can and can't access him. In Psalm 65, verse number 4, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and cause us to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple." Writer here says plainly, who has access to God? Well, the one that God chooses, the one who God causes to approach unto him. Looking into our New Testament, we see some other examples in the book of Acts, for example, chapter 13 and verse number 48, where the Bible tells us here, Paul is preaching to the Jews and the Gentiles of this region, Acts chapter 13 and verse number 48. The Gentiles accepted. Of course, we know the Jews rejected the call of God. The Bible says, "And when the Gentiles heard this," heard what? That salvation was available. "They were glad and glorified the word of God. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." Here we see this ordination of who will have eternal life. Turn over to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse number 4. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 4, Paul, writing to the church of Ephesus, says this about those who have access to God, those who God has chosen, those whom God has called, those who were ordained. The Bible says, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." As we mentioned in our class this morning, June brought this up. Any verse taken out of the Bible, divorced of its context, without looking at any other verses, can be used to teach just about anything. And this morning, when we're talking about access to God, what I want to first cover and point out is that though we could choose certain verses to pull out of the Bible and show that perhaps God chooses the individual, chooses who can access him, ordains those who are going to be saved, predestinated those to be saved according to his goodwill and pleasure, what we really have to do is look at the Bible as a whole. Is this what the Bible is telling us? God chooses the individual. Those he accepts and chooses will be given access to him, and those he does not will not have this access. Is this what the Bible tells us? The biggest outside influence on Christianity today is almost 500 years in the making. That would be Calvinism. Calvinism and those who believe in this idea that God chooses the individual. He chose Richard, for example. He chose David. But he didn't choose me. And there's nothing they could do to be unchosen. There's nothing I can do to be chosen, no matter how good I live. If God didn't choose me, I'm out of luck. Calvinism has tainted a lot of the verses that we see in the Bible, because people have this outside influence telling them what this verse must mean. Does the Bible really teach that God has chosen the individual? How do we have our access to God? Well, it is true. God chose, God did grant access to him. But how's it done? That's what we want to consider this morning. Is there anything I must do? Well, given 500 years of influence on the word ordained and predestined, let's first look at those words. You know, you hear the word ordained, an ordained minister. It would be someone who God called, right? And who the church or the seminary anointed, right? Well, this is what Calvinism teaches. This is the influence that's on this word. But what does this word truly mean? To just basically define it from the Greek dictionaries that are available, Strong's and Thayer's and many others, the word simply means to set in order. To set in order. That's what the word ordained means. Here's a good example. Go to Acts chapter 14 and verse number 23. The apostles are traveling through the regions here in Acts chapter 14 and verse number 23. We have that word ordained. It doesn't mean chosen before time by God. It doesn't mean anointed, specially called by God. What does it mean? It means just simply to set in order. Consider what the Bible says here. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, they had prayed with fasting, they commended them unto the Lord on whom they believed. What happens in this verse? Well, let's look at this word ordained, to set in order. If we go to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 or the book of Titus chapter 1, we have a complete list of what it takes to be an elder. Were these people chosen before the world began to be elders? Were they anointed by God and called specifically by him before time began to be elders? Or had these people set themselves in order for what God expected? Looking in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we see the qualifications for elders. Be apt to teach, gentle towards all. Good hospitality, not greedy of filthy lucre. Not a brawler, not given to wine. Titus chapter 1 would give us also qualifications. The word ordained, in its pure form, its pure sense, its definition, is to set in order. These men here set themselves in order according to God's pattern. They did the things in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1 in order to be elders. They weren't chosen before or given this special thing by God's choosing the individual. They did what God expected. They set themselves in order. Back in Acts chapter 13 and verse number 48 then, we see, although this has a Calvinistic influence on it because of the hundreds of years of this teaching, these Gentiles weren't ordained or chosen by God individually for eternal life. They set themselves in order to receive eternal life. Why else was Paul preaching this sermon here in Acts chapter 14 but to convince them that God set up a system, sent his son to die for that system and to establish it so that everybody, by setting themselves in order and, as we sung a moment ago, shaping our lives by his blessed example, they could become saved and have the opportunity to go to heaven by following what Jesus commanded. This word ordained is translated in many different ways. For example, to set in order. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 34, Paul tells the churches that concerning the doctrine he's preaching, the rest I will set in order. The Bible actually uses those words. We could say the rest I will ordain on my arrival. Paul wanted to set some things in order. He was given inspiration by God. He was able to teach and preach. He wanted to set some things in order for the church. Also, the word can be defined or interpreted appoint or designate. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16, all the apostles upon Jesus' death went to a certain mountain in Galilee. Why? Because the Lord had ordained them to go there. The word actually says the Lord appointed that place for them to go after he was put to death. They set themselves in order to what the Lord appointed. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 13. And other verses tell us that Paul was setting things in order. Paul decided in Acts chapter 22 and verse 10 to travel around while his companions rode by ship. And he ordained a spot where they would meet. He set it in order, and that's where they met on his journey. And so even though the word ordained has been kind of shifted in our vocabulary to mean something completely different, all it means is to set in order. And so if I want to have access to God, I'm not picked or chosen by God before the world even began. I must set myself in order. This is the whole message of the Bible. Every New Testament sermon that we read about in the book of Acts and the other sermons that Jesus delivered in the book of the Gospel accounts and all the dialogue that Paul and Peter and other writers give to the church are showing us simply a pattern. Do you want to spend eternity with God in heaven? This is the pattern. Are you ordaining yourself or setting yourself in order to be partaker of that pattern? This is what we must do. James chapter 4 and verse 8 puts it pretty clearly. Submit. He says, draw yourselves nigh unto God, and he will draw himself to you. He tells us in the verse before to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But draw yourself to God, and he will draw himself to you. Access to God by doing what God expects, by setting yourself in order based upon what the Bible teaches us. And so with that in mind, we look back at these other verses, the Psalms here. God chooses us and draws us to him. How? Well, by, in that day and age, for David, by following what God had commanded. God commands this, I'm going to do that, therefore I am drawn to him through those channels that he's set up. Acts 13:48, the Gentiles set themselves in order to receive the promise of salvation that the Jews in the first verse just rejected. They wanted nothing to do with it. So Paul goes to the Gentiles, and they did what was necessary to have eternal life. That's how we have access to God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 through 5, we read a moment ago. If you'll turn back over there. Again, these words having this skew on them that people feel whenever they read these words, like foreordained and predestined. What Paul is really telling us here, he has chosen us in him when we set ourselves in order to the plan that God, Christ, died for. Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3 teaches us all about the church and the mystery of God and how it is available, purchased by his blood, to everybody. And those that make themselves, who set themselves in order, who follow the example, who cover themselves by the blood of Christ in obedience to him, have that which God promised. They have, in fact, been chosen because they have done what is necessary to be chosen. So how do I access God? If God doesn't pick me as an individual, if I must set myself in order, how do I access God? That's what we want to spend the rest of our time dealing with this morning. We know it's available to all. How do I do it? Well, Jesus came to this earth, lived a perfect life, died, was buried, and rose again so that I and so that you can have access to God. How do I access God? I access it through Christ. In the book of John chapter 10, if you'll turn over there to John chapter 10, Jesus is comparing a flock of sheep with his followers. And in John chapter 10, he says that the sheep don't listen to just anybody. They listen to the shepherd. The shepherd lays down in front of the door, guards the door, and he basically decides when the sheep come in and the sheep go out. And in John chapter 10, Jesus compares himself to that great shepherd, starting in verse number 7, where Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers. And the sheep did not hear them. But I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is the door. He is the one that provides access to God. Without him, there would be no door because he is that door that provides access. And when we come through that door, Jesus says we will be saved. Any man can do that. Those who climb up over the walls, they're not going to get in. Shepherd's going to run them off. You have to go through the door. We have access through God to God through Christ because he is also the way. John chapter 14, Jesus is describing the mansion he's going to prepare in his Father's house for those who believe on him. And Jesus tells them in verse number 4 of chapter 14, "But whither I go, you know, and the way you know." But his apostles had a problem with this. Thomas says unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? In the physical realm, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? You've got to tell us the way. Give us some directions. Leave us a map. How do we get there? Well, Jesus said unto him in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He says here in this passage. He doesn't say, well, this is the way to get there. Follow this religion. Follow this belief. Choose any way you want, as long as you believe in me. He says, I am the way. So Jesus is the door that grants us access to God. Jesus is the way. that grants us access to God. But we know we have a problem here. Our sin separates us from God. If Jesus is the way and the door, then he must also be the offering that purchased us for God. In Ephesians chapter 2, if you'll turn over there with me, Paul, as he's talking to the church here in Ephesians chapter 2, is talking about the sacrifice of Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse number 13. The Bible tells us, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Jesus is the door that allows us to enter. Jesus is the way that gets us to the Father, and his sacrifice gives us access unto God. Peter puts it a different way in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. For he says, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." God chose the individual? No. God appointed the way. The way was Christ. Christ is the door. And through his sacrifice, we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. By his sacrifice, the just for the unjust, he brings us to the Father. Christ is how we access God. We also access God through our faith in Christ. Not only is he our way and our offering, but by faith in him, we show God that we truly believe and want to have access with him. We access God through our faith in Christ. In Romans chapter 5, starting in verse number 1 and 2, the writer here, Paul, tells us plainly, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Those who believe in the Calvinistic idea of ordination and predestination will say that grace has been given, there's nothing you have to do for it. But we know from the book of Titus chapter 2 that grace teaches us that we ought to act in a certain way, and this passage tells us that we have access to that grace through the faith we have in Christ, that door, that way, that offering that brings us to God. This faith is part of the eternal purpose. This faith is actually the eternal purpose. In Ephesians chapter 3, if you'll turn there and read in Ephesians chapter 3, this time verse number 11 through 12, where the Bible tells us, "According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." The Bible tells us that this is the church, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. The faith that Christ died for. That's how we have access to God, by our reconciliation and our obedience to it. Part of the lesson that we studied this morning in class. How do I access God? Through Christ, my door, through Christ, the way, the offering, by having faith in him and what he has taught. We also access God by our obedience to that faith. James chapter 2, at least four times in that passage, tells us that faith without works is dead. Without having the proper faith in Christ, therefore being motivated by that faith to do what he says, our faith is dead. We have to be obedient to Christ and his commands in order to have access to God. We want to compare then for a minute this idea of picking and choosing by God to Acts chapter 10, verse number 34 and 35. We read it in class this morning. Peter says that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness, he who doesn't have a dead faith, he who works that God has ordained, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, that we should walk in, that is the person that's going to be acceptable to God. That is the person that's going to have access to God. Access to God is universal. Christ and his faith is the propitiation for our sins, 1 John chapter 2, but not ours only. He is the propitiation for the whole world, John tells us in that passage. Every nation, any man. You see the words here that are being used. When you put the Bible as a whole, then you see access to God is available to anybody and everybody. If you and I will just set ourselves in order to take advantage of what God has offered and the promise of heaven, Jesus Christ being the way, he is the door, he is the offering. Faith in him, granting us access to God. Our obedience through the works that God has asked us to do, granting us access to God. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9 tell us that Jesus, as a son, learned obedience by dying on the cross. Likewise, he, verse 9, is the author of eternal salvation to some of those that obey him? To those that God picked or chose? No, of course not. He is the author of eternal salvation to all that obey him, the Bible says. All. That obey. Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 22. Just reading the first part of this verse, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 22. Peter tells the Christians, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, I'll just finish, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. We can purify our souls, friends, by obeying the truth. We have access to God by having an obedient, working faith. That faith that grants us access. That faith that can only come through Christ and his sacrifice. So who can access God? Anyone who fits his mold and pattern. As we sang a moment ago, shaping our lives by his blessed example. Anyone can have access to God if we shape our lives according to the pattern that Christ left. The doorway that Christ is, we can have access to God. The Bible tells us, Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, to be imitators of him, even as he is of Christ. As we imitate Christ and look to the pattern that we read about in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5, that pattern that was shown to those people, and that by means of a shadow is an example of what God left us today, the pattern that we should follow. Who can access God? Those who were foreordained? Well, yes, those who were foreordained that set themselves in order to follow the pattern that God had left through Jesus Christ have access to God. This is the day that Jesus rose from the dead, not in the sense of Easter by any means, but the fact that it is the first day of the week where we remember his sacrifice. And we look to these things by way of remembrance, the bread and the fruit of the vine, and remember the body that he gave up, granting us access to our Father in heaven. Who can accept it? Anybody that sets themselves in order. Christ offers the great invitation in John chapter 7, verse number 37. We're going to use this for our invitation. John chapter 7, verse number 37. Jesus is preaching this sermon here to these people. One of the first ones that he gave, teaching about the fact that he is the Christ, he is the fulfillment of the law, and all those who want access to God, all they need to do is come to him, have an obedient working faith, and stay faithful unto death. Jesus says, here in the last day of that great feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus says, you want access to God? Are you thirsting and hungering for righteousness? Are you thirsty for that eternal life? You want access to God? Come to me, because I am the door. I am the way. I am the offering. I am the person who died to establish the faith that you, as an obedient person, setting yourself in order, can have access to God if you'll only do these things. So that's what we want to end this sermon with this morning. Have you taken advantage of the access that Christ died to leave for you, to be an obedient child of God? Have you perhaps left the way? Have you fallen short of what God expects? Friends, we can set ourselves in order for eternal life by following Christ and being an imitator of him and going to God, having our access to God by him. there's anything we could do for you at this time, if you need to make things right, come back, or maybe have this access, maybe you've never had it before, let us know what we can do as we stand and sing this song.